would like to say happy Mother's Day and happy birthday to a very special mom in our midst, and that's Maxine Griffith. So, woohoo! Maxine, where are you? Good. Keep
there
standing.
Is.
This is a mama
praise
in the
God.
House.
Yes.
And
amen.
Amen. Woohoo!
In the Old Testament, they called that a mother in Israel.
Yes.
We call her a mother in the church.
She's Hallelujah. A pillar in the church. Can we say how old you're going to be? Is that okay? 89. I like that.
Amen.
So she's quite an inspiration to us all. She still drives. Like, I think it's 23 miles round trip to church, and she goes different places and gets around really good, praise God. And she's worked with the children. And, of course, she was in ministry with her husband when he was alive. She is a widow. And she's worked in women's ministry and just such a blessing in so many areas of the church. And we thank you for your faithfulness in the Lord. Thank you, Maxine. And, okay, this is where you come in. Happy birthday. Let's sing happy birthday to her. Yeah, that's why.
Tammy, come on. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dears. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Take one of those. Most of you know that by the grace of God and prayer, I finished a book this last summer. It's called Courage to Continue. And I've just gotten back wonderful, wonderful reviews. And it is not a woman's book. It is a people book for men and women. There's something in there for everyone, the young and the old. And this morning I'd like to give out three books. And Maxine's going to find a single woman. Are there some single moms out there? Single moms? Okay. And you'll read it. Don't raise your hand if you don't have time to read it. Okay. Okay. And then we need a married mom. Okay. There's some married moms. And then we need a brave man. Oh. Hey, there it went. Come, my brother. I had a man in California said that he couldn't put it down. And he's very educated and into electronics and all that. And so I was kind of shocked. But it has been a blessing. I give the glory to the Lord. So thank you for all of you that have gotten the book. It is available out where Myrna and Robin are, out in the foyer. Before and after service, and it is in Dightman's Bible Bookstore, which really is a God thing. So, all right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you made this day for us to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you that you have a father's heart towards mothers. And today, Father, we thank you for joy in the house. We thank you for your work of grace in our lives, men and women both, and the young people, Father God. We thank you for just a spirit of truth and life to go forth that would transform our minds, that we would be renewed in a spirit of grace to do your word as you speak it. Hallelujah. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm going to read you something that I got out of a mother's book. Can you stir a pot on a stove, balance a baby on your hip, hold a telephone at your ear, and a toddler on your knee all at the same time? Are you the person for whom members of your family yell when they can't find their shoes, their socks, homework, keys, when they need an errand run, when the dog has to be walked or has to go out, or when the shirt needs to be ironed? Are you the one that you get to change the toilet paper roll and you're putting the seat down? If so, the evidence points to the fact that you're probably a mother, a stepmom, adoptive mother, mother-in-law, grandmother, or great-grandmother. And I say thank you, mothers. You may not know, but on May 10th in 1908, Anna Jarvis celebrated the first Mother's Day, honoring her mother who had passed away. And her mother had been a Sunday school teacher, and it was held in the Methodist Church in West Virginia. So we thank God for all those Sunday school teachers, whether they're natural mothers or spiritual mothers. We honor all mothers today of what was done back then. So I want to tell you a little mother story that's happened recently. And this was a mom, and her little two-year-old came running out of her room, and she was just screaming. And there was no blood, and this mama couldn't figure out what was wrong. And it took a while to get the child calmed down. And when she got her calmed down, she asked her, you know, what's wrong? And she said, there's a coffee bean in my nose. Somehow those coffee beans, before you grind them, they can get away, you know. And, oh, she got one. And two-year-olds, they love to smell everything anyway. Well, it just seemed like a logical thing for her. And will the mom in the house that happened to raise your hand? It was my daughter and my granddaughter that happened to. So, but you know, I thank God, because if you're a mama, do you know you need the peace of God? And my daughter said, I don't know if I'm going to call the hospital, the doctor, or if, you know, I need to call mama. You know, it's just, these things go through your mind. You don't know what's going on. But she decided to call on Jesus. And the Lord gave her the wisdom on how to get that coffee bean out of her nose. And I won't tell you the details. You know, children depend on us when they're young, as we teach them that they've got to have wings to fly when they're older. And I just want to mention one thing that we mamas, when our children reach young adults, when they're out of the house, or when they get married, we've got to give up control. Hello? Have you heard the mother-in-law stories? Oh, my. We need to be heavenly mother-in-laws, and we need to represent heaven as far as being a mother. And so many times, mothers do not take the time because they are taking care of everybody else, and they don't get to draw close to God as much as they would like to or probably should. Life can become so busy for all of us. And we really need to take that time, because God is going to get us moms and grandmothers through our days. So if we can take that time and be with Him in the Word and pray in the mornings before our days start, it's going to make a difference. And we've got to keep drawing near daily to receive that breath of fresh life in our spirits and be built up to be the moms and grandmas that we need to be. I want to tell you another, what I thought was a funny little story. And this is about, you never know when you give gifts to mothers, young mothers, what they're going to really enjoy. And there was a young mother who had a baby, and she had two other kids. And so some friends got together, and they thought, we're going to get her a playpen. She can really use it because they're all young. So they were so surprised when they got a thank you note back that said, "Thank you for the playpen. It's used every day between 2 and 3 p.m. I get in it and read, and the children can't get near me." Do you know that as mothers and fathers, all of us, young and old, we are supposed to not just go through the motions. We are to be fully engaged in the Lord's life and kingdom of righteousness, joy, and peace. Now, how many of you, your mothers are no longer here? They're with Jesus. So many of us. I thank God for my mom. I happen to have a very loving mom. And you know the thing? One of the things that I miss the most about my mother is her laughter. And I said, "Lord, I never want to forget that sound of my mama laughing." I mean, we would laugh so hard sometimes I think I was going to wet my pants. You know, it's that kind of thing. And so if I could just say, mothers, we've got to lighten up in the journey. Things are getting very serious out there, but we have to have the joy of the Lord that would be our strength in these end days. Amen? So take the time, enjoy your kids, laugh with your kids, make memories. Every day can be a memory for them that could take them through the rest of the journey. So with that, I want to say that in honoring God, He has not only a father's heart, but He also has the heart of a mother. It was His idea, this motherhood thing. And I just want to read a few scriptures that portray this part of God. And the first one is in Matthew 22:37. And this is Jesus speaking over Jerusalem. Matthew 23:37. Jesus says, "How often I wanted to gather together your children, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." And I do believe there's a gathering going on today for every person that is willing to come. I think God is about turning hearts towards home. Not only our literal homes, but back to mom and dad and restoration and healing in our families, but back to Him. He's saying, "Come, come. I'm the one that gives you rest for your soul. I'm the one that'll make the journey lighter and easier for you. That you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it by yourself." Another one is in Psalm 27:10. This scripture says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up." The Lord will take us up. Amen. Sometimes natural parents can be disappointing. Sometimes children can be a little bit frustrating. But we need to know that the Lord is there. He takes us up. There are some mothers that are mothers in name only and not by demonstration, but we cannot allow a mother or a father who was not free in Jesus to hold us back and hinder us by hurts. We've got to go on. We need the healing. The healing of the Lord taking us up. I'll take you higher. I'll take you from that pain, the healing. I'll take you from that anxiety and worry. I'll take you to peace, because that's who He is. You may have sensed and felt and believed that you were unloved by a natural parent, but God loves you. And if we don't know and believe His love for us, it affects our faith, because the Word says that faith works through love. It's energized, activated by love. And one of the simple childlike things that I believe and I know is that God loves me and He is for me. And therefore I believe that because of that love, He will do what He said He will do. It's not a faith problem as much as it is a love problem. He loves you. I speak the life of His love this morning to you. You're the only one that can put up the wall and keep it out. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. And Father, Papa, Daddy, God wants us free. We're all His kids. We're all His kids. You need a mother's heart? He's got it. You need a father's heart? He's got it. Here's another one in Isaiah 66:13. Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. Does anybody need comfort today? Anybody need comfort? And you will be comforted in Jerusalem. Today we have the Holy Spirit. We have the wonderful helper. The one that strengthens us, encourages us. The one that leads and guides us into all truth. The one that is going to be with us till the end. God, the Holy Spirit within us. The greater one. So we're equipped for this journey. He made sure that we would have the comfort of a father, the comfort of a mother in our lives. And I've made my share of mistakes as a mama. I'm not a super mom. I was looking at a cape the other day. These young girls had on these super women costumes, and I think, ooh, I need one of those capes. And then somebody said, yeah, because you're a super mom. And I go, no, I could say this is what I'm not. You know, God is. The great God, He's a super God. He makes the difference. I've also done my share of confessing, repenting, and receiving forgiveness as a mom and just as a child of God. But God's heart, again, is that we be free. We be free of the guilt, condemnation, the shame. When you first become a mother or a father, amen, you've not gone down that road before. It's a new journey. And we don't always do everything perfect. So many times I would think, well, this is the way I should do it. And even lately, God has dealt with me in this, in different situations, not just regarding children or grandchildren. But I'll think, oh, this is what I should do. Just to be arrested by the wisdom of the Lord as I would pull back and draw into His presence. And He'd show me the bigger picture beyond myself or my children or for this person in this situation. And we've got to be, you know, it's like Mary. And I think that's, I think it's John 2:5 on that scripture verse. But this is at the wedding at Cana where she tells him, they ran out of wine, so she tells him, just do whatever he says to do. The do it. And that's what I find, that my ways, my thoughts are not always his. I don't always get it straight. But if I'll get in his presence, I'll let him minister to me his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and his love. I will see that child as he sees him. A lot of times, don't we get in messes when we just take off and we just open our mouths and we're going to take care of this situation? You know what frees you? Pull back into His presence and Word. Let's get built up. Let some of those tongues go forth, praying in the Spirit. It's amazing how I've seen so many times that if I would have done it my way, even though it seemed right, it was wrong. I would not have the God results. And I like to be fruitful. He loves us. He's called us to bear fruit and that it should remain. Well, we've got to do it His way in our relationships. So I can say this, that His perfect love is still training this child to walk in love and to fear not. To fear not. I want to mention Titus 2 and really verses 3 through 5. And this is where the older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Love their children. To be sensible, pure workers at home doesn't mean you can't work outside the home. Kind, being subject to their own husbands so that the word of God will not be dishonored. It's a good thing to encourage women, no matter what age, love your husbands. And by the way, love your children. Love them. Again, you get in God's presence, He's going to give you vision for that child. He's going to show you how to walk in love and train and teach that child in His way so that when he is older, or she, they're not going to depart. That will be within them forever. So when we love our children, that's obedience to God. And that shows love and honor and respect. And older women I have found in my life that I have gained teaching from, and from the Word of God, going to the Word of God and seeking and searching and studying, I found that the older women, they do have some spiritual, scriptural insight. Yeah. And the experience in a practical way of motherhood that was a tremendous help when I was a young mother. So we've got a lot of older women in this church. And I think a wise one, just to name one, is Ida. Okay, and then Janice, she's another one. You know, there's so many. And I don't mean to say that you're old, but that's a nice old. Older, yeah, we're grandmas, you know, and there's so many more. So some of you younger women, you know, take part of the wisdom and the love and the scriptural knowledge that some of the older women have. It can help. Love is our heavenly connection of power to this earthly life. And how we would want to be treated is how we are to treat others. Hello. If we just would stop right there day after day after day, I think we'd do a little bit better in our relationships. Do you want to be treated the way you've been treating your spouse and your children? How about the way we treat God, our Father? Aren't we glad He doesn't treat us like we treat some other people? Oh, I've got room to grow. I want to say this, that, and I don't know that this is taught so much anymore, but when I was young, one of the things that really, there were many things, but in this one area, to publicly argue and talk negative about your loved ones tears down families. Hello? Disciplining our children should be done in private as much as possible. As much as possible. Sometimes you just have to deal with it right there. But I would, if my kids acted up, guess what? They knew. Because mama was one I wanted to do it right. So I was consistent. I was diligent in the training and discipline. And they knew they were going to get taken out. If we're in a store, time to go. You know. Back then you could probably go in a restroom and deal with them. But nowadays, that may not be the case. If you're at somebody's house. You don't just let them run wild. You know, you deal with them. And one thing just recently, too, I'm going to say that the Lord brought to mind was that the child training, it takes time, especially when you're dealing with the younger ones. They're not going to get it overnight. Look at us. He's still training me, you know, and because I got a little excited over something and I thought, well, gee, it shouldn't be that way. And it takes time. You teach, you teach, you teach, you train, you correct, and most of all, you praise. You know, if we're telling our kids they're bad, you're not really dealing with the action or the act as much as you are coming against their heart. And that's something else that the Lord has brought to my remembrance. We've got to deal with what they did wrong, and a bad act does not make them a bad child. And some of you have probably been told, oh, you're bad. You're a bad girl. You're a bad boy. And you may have heard that most of your life. You're nothing. You're this. You're that. And everything you did wrong. It's like you couldn't do anything right. What you do is not who you are. And God is not done with you yet. And today is a day, if that's you, you can offload that for the truth of the word. There is therefore now condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And God's not looking at us just because we did something wrong that I'm a bad girl. I'm so glad he doesn't count me out. That good work that he's begun in us, he will complete it till the day of Christ Jesus. And I hope and I know he's coming soon. And when he does, it's over. But until then, there's great hope, great grace that enables us to be all that he's called us to be. When my kids were young, I want to quickly go through this. This is just the way I did it. You may have another way and it may work well. But I would tell my kids to do something, kind of like God does. And I would have them say, yes, mama. I would have them say that because it tells me they're listening. And also it begins to train a respect for authority. And then I would have them repeat it, especially if they were younger and maybe weren't so focused, so that there's no misunderstanding in what the task is. And then, of course, if they didn't do what they were supposed to, they were disciplined. If they're, you look for real rebellion, defiance, really being unkind. And we would talk about what they did wrong. And this is where young mamas take the time. It will pay off. If they don't get the child training when they're young, when they're a teenager, it's not easy. And one thing that we want to build throughout the years is that our communication lines are open. Our children should be able to come to us and talk to us. We want the communication open. They've got to know and be reassured that they are loved. So if they didn't do what was right, we talk about why it was wrong. And depending on the age, you can go to the word here. You can tell them and go over and or ask them, what would be the right way to do that? Get them thinking of another way. If we just say, you weren't supposed to do that, and then discipline them, and off they go, where does that leave them? You know, God doesn't leave me like that. So we talk about it. We go over a right way to do it. They have to apologize. They're trained to apologize and say they're sorry. And at first, they may act like they don't really mean it, but you do that over and over over the years, and they're going to get, you know, it becomes a good habit of life in preparation for a free heart before God. Then after they apologize and say they're sorry, here comes the discipline. There's a consequence. And then we pray. And I don't know if very many mothers take the time to pray with their kids when they do something wrong. We're so busy. We've got to pull back. We've got to train these little ones. Okay, you did something wrong. This is what you could have done right. You know, train them to be sorry and apologize. Train them that restoration. You know, if they've been mean to a sibling or whatever they've done, or just not obeyed your word. And then they pray. You teach them, go to God. Ask forgiveness for that. God will forgive you. And then we get up and give hugs and we get out of there and leave it there. And that teaches them a respect for authority. It teaches them so that one day, just like Mary said, whatever he says to do, they'll say, yes, Lord. And when they mess up, they'll fess up, they'll get up, and they'll think, we can do this right. I know there's a better way. And in prayer, you know, they pray, they ask God to forgive them, and you pray over them and establish that love. We are training up godly seed. We are kingdom moms. Mothers are like architects and builders in children's life. We lay a foundation of love and righteousness and the seeds of eternity in their hearts. It starts with mamas and dads. In 2 Timothy 1:5, the scripture talks about generations. Women who are faithful in generations. And 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And this is where our examples as mothers, it's going to stand for generations. Amen? We want to impart that faith in our children. We want to be that example that God can use. We want them to grow up trusting God. And we need to call those things that be not as though they were. And not be moved by the lies of the enemy. If our children aren't walking where they should be, if God's word is not void and it comes to pass, then we need to agree with the word. Take those promises, speak the life of the promise over the child, or over any person that you're dealing with, and believe that it will come to pass because God said it. Now I say it, and we need to have that spirit of prophecy, and that it's the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So as we, as mamas and grandmamas, as we lift up Jesus in our families, He is going to draw all to Him. And I can say He's done that in my household. He's done that. And I am so thankful. Mothers of faith, praying mamas. In Psalm 105, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. There's a missionary lady that founded an orphanage in Egypt, and her name was Lillian, and she said, live in such a way as to pass on something tangible to a new generation. Doesn't matter if you're a natural mom or a spiritual mom. And I want to go into the power of words. I know this is on our pastor's hearts. It's on God's heart. And I want to share something that it came off of a DVD from another ministry. It's a powerful DVD. And it's a water experiment. I don't know, has anybody seen a water experiment about sound and words? Anybody? Okay. Can we put up that chart? All right. Dr. Masaru Emoto has done research on water, and he has researched the effect of thoughts and feelings and what how they affect reality. And he has found that words spoken that are written down and put around water and music played can change the crystals in water. And as you can see, the top left, and they would take water from maybe a pond, different source, water sources. It wasn't always from the same place. But the top left is before prayer. And that's what the water crystal, what it looked like. Right to the right of that, the middle top, is after prayer. Do you see that crystal? Pretty, huh? That's after prayer. The one on the top right is when heavy metal music is played. Now, down at the bottom left is when I love you was spoken. The second, you make me sick. And that's how the water crystals looked. The second, or middle bottom. And on the right, that beautiful water crystal comes from thank you. Interesting, huh? There's another researcher, scientist, and inventor, Dr. David Van Kuveren, and he also has stated that this type of research, that there is truth and documentation in it. I want to say that we're made up of 60% water in our bodies, 80% in our brain, 70% in our blood, and 22% in our bones. Is it any wonder why the enemy tries to attack our minds with lies, destructive thoughts? He likes to keep us in strife and unforgiveness. Hello. But we are to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. We're to cast down anything that's contrary to the word. It's going down. It's going out in Jesus' name. We also, the scripture tells us, we have the mind of Christ. No excuse. We have the love of God poured out in our hearts. No excuse here. All right. So you can go ahead and take that down. We don't need to see something like that to know that God says in Proverbs 18:21, we don't have to have an experiment to back up the word of God. We, by faith, we believe what God said. But it is interesting research that's going on. And it's not just that one doctor. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In Proverbs 21:23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. And I do believe that there's a challenge on in the body of Christ, those that represent Jesus. Watch your words. Watch your words. And maybe even today there might be children and there might be mothers in the house that you've not contacted, your mom or your family, in a while. Maybe things haven't gone so well, but maybe, just maybe, God will move on your heart and there'll be some restoration and there'll be some God words, some life words, some I love you words, some thank you words that'll go forth because you love God. Because you love him. How we speak to others and our children, it matters. It sets a course in their life. The Lord gave me this thought when I needed it. When you are in my face, You don't have to be in the face of others. Did you get that? That's one of those, oh, ouch. You're right. When you're in my face, you don't have to be in the face of others. It's easy to know who we've not been with when we're talking negative about people. Take it to God first. Expect Him to minister words of direction and sometimes correction and love and peace in that situation. In Proverbs 31, and this is verses 25 through 26, and I'm going to read 28 and 30. The Proverbs 31 woman, she was a mother. Strength and dignity in verse 25 are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. I think there's some joy there. Now, we can look at our future. We may not think there's so much joy there. But you know what? It's not what the world says that determines my future. It's what this book says. It's the word of Almighty God, my Father, who loves me, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He has already done for me. That's the words that I cling to. In verse 26, and I love this, and this is a mama scripture. This is a woman scripture. Men, you can take it too. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Wisdom. The word says that Jesus is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is our wisdom and power. Kind words. Some of us need to work on that. I know I do. I can be kinder. I can speak wiser. And then in verse 28, her children rise up and bless her. Don't we all want that? That the children will rise up and bless us. Her husband also, and he praises her. And then in verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This is a woman who reverence and honors the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, I have to do this quick and in wrapping this up. There was a young woman in our church. This is many, many years ago, and I'd kind of forgotten about this, but the Lord brought it to mind in doing this service, and so I'm going to share it. I don't really readily share it, but anyway, she called me one day, and she said, I just want to say goodbye to you because I've had it. I want to end my life. And she told me what she was going to do. She says, I just can't take it anymore. I just love Jesus so much, I want to be with Him. And there's a statement that I said that I'll always remember. And every situation is different, so I'm not sharing this, that anybody would do what I did or say what I said. Because I was crying out inwardly, like praying softly in the spirit while she's talking to me, and I'm going, help, Lord, help. You know, I mean, every soul is precious. Every soul. And you feel like you have, I mean, what do you say? What do you do? You can't reach through the phone and grab them and say, no, you're not. So in this particular case, in this one case, and I've never had to do it another time, but in this one case, this is what I was led, because I needed the wisdom of God. I said, after she said, I love Him so much, I want to be with Him, I said, no, you don't. If you loved Him, you'd live for Him. The truth sets us free. And as mothers and fathers, we've got to speak the truth. What is God saying to us? Are we even taking the time to find out what He's saying? There's not a relationship, a situation that can't be turned around by the love and gracious word of God and wisdom loosed in that situation. It'll arrest and captivate and capture a soul and a heart. And we need to have divine meltdowns in the presence of the Lord. Will somebody speak the word of the Lord? My words don't mean much, but His words mean everything. When we ended the conversation, I continued praying. And the very next Mother's Day, and this is why I'm sharing this too, I got a card from this young woman. Now, I'm not her natural mom, but she's alive and well, and she went on and she listened to some truth and love from this mother's heart. To God be the glory. Because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. And that young woman moved on. She's no longer in our church, but I hope she remembers me. And someday I'll see her again. Now I want to end with this last portion of scripture in John 19, verses 26 and 27. And this is our Jesus. The greatest love story is about to be concluded when Jesus is on the cross for us, for His great love for us and the joy set before Him. That's you and that's me. When Jesus then saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. After this, He says, "I'm thirsty. It is finished." And bowed His head and gave up His spirit. The last act on the cross was to assign the care for His mother. Jesus made sure that His mama was taken care of. Hello? Let us know that the river of mothers, a mother's love, it keeps flowing. It keeps flowing. There is someone's son or daughter that needs us because Jesus loves and lives on in us. So let us look around and see what Jesus sees. And let us love who Jesus loves. For God places miracles in mothers' hearts. Amen? I would like a special mom. You're all special. But there's one mom that I believe the Lord brought to mind to honor at this time. And just represents all of us. And that is Callie. Where's Callie? Can you bring her up here? Come on, Mama. Hallelujah. Doesn't she look beautiful? These are for you. God loves you, as you know. He's a good God all the time, as you say. Now this, she may go down here. This lady, she lost her son. But she moved beyond that loss and kept reaching out. She's worked amongst the children. She's worked in women's ministry. She has loved on us. How many of you, raise your hand if this is Mama Callie? You know? She didn't let loss and grief hold her back or hinder her. The love in this mama's heart, she was determined to get up and keep loving, keep going to the glory of God. And we're all going to be on the other side. And there'll be a heavenly reward to the love of mothers like Callie. They've touched us. And we honor her and we honor all mothers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you. I also want to say that when she lost her son David, the Lord gave her a word that encouraged her that she was going to have many children. The devil would be sorry. She'll have many children. And God has absolutely brought that to pass. We thank you for that. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The devil can't win. We have the victory. Amen. Would the personal workers please come forward? And we're going to conclude this. The personal workers. Any altar workers? You know, you can go ahead and stand up if you would. I just want to ask if there's anybody here this morning and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you want this loving Savior in your heart, in your life, we want to pray for you this morning. And we invite you to come forward to the altars, and there are people that are going to love on you and help you. And maybe you want this baptism, the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. You want a prayer language that's just yours. We want you to come forward this morning. Or maybe you've not been where you should be and you want to come home, you want to come back and get on the right track with the Lord and God and get back into His Word and just have a restored fellowship with Him that is greater than ever before. We want you to come forward. And if there's anybody you need salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or that restored fellowship, would you please come forward? Maxine, come on up. Any altar workers that would like to minister, come on up here in case we have some people that need you. Is there anybody? And thank you for these wonderful people that are going to be up here to pray. Is there anybody that would say, yes, that's me? Anybody? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Is everybody saved? Filled with the Spirit? You know you've got it. Have your hearts been ministered to this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to have some people up here that will be willing to pray for you. If you've come today and before you go off to the Mother's Day celebration, if you need prayer. So